Today's Global IQ Minute is with Robert Lang, producer and co-writer of Raw Opium, Pain, Pleasure, and Profit. Thank you so much for joining us, Robert.
Well, I'm glad to be here.
How did working on this film change your views on how society should address drug addiction?
Well, when we started nearly 3 years ago, we thought we were doing a film basically that would look at the pipeline from the opium field to the end user on the streets of any North American or European city. And we thought that we'd encounter some of the drama along the way and the people's vested interests along the way, but we had no idea that we'd meet so many people who were of like mind. And we're not talking now just about users and people who worked with healthcare on the streets, but also people in law enforcement, in the justice system, who all agreed that the system is just not working and hasn't worked for many, many years. And yet, the business as usual is still the order of the day. And that surprised me.
And when you say business as usual, that certainly seems to be the case in the United States. I was struck by one phrase in the film where it said that an American is arrested every 18 seconds for illegal drug possession or a drug-related crime.
That's right. In the U.S., approximately the percentage of the world population that lives in the United States, and it's about 5% of the world population, but the amount of the prison population in the United States, of the world's prison population, is 25%. So there's something askew, and many of those incarcerations are for drug-related offenses. So you wonder, over 40 years of the war on drugs, is this working? Is this helping, or is it just keeping the revolving door going?
And when you say 40 years in the war on drugs, the film focuses a bit on President Nixon and noted that he started the DEA, the Drug Enforcement Agency, and describe drugs as public enemy number one. Criminalization has not worked, I would argue, in the United States, but what about some of the other models, say, in Portugal, that you go into quite a bit of detail in the film?
We actually didn't know about the Portugal model until we were about halfway through researching and producing the film, and it came to our attention through a rather unusual source, through the former drug czar, the narcotics commissioner of India, Ramesh Bhattacharjee, and he said he had heard that there was some kind of national decriminalization, actually, of the whole country of all drugs in Portugal, and we hadn't heard about it, which is kind of odd because it had been going on already for 8 or 9 years. So we looked into it a bit further and realized that it was something that was not getting attention in a way that the statistics would indicate should be happening. So we looked into it a bit further, and in fact, we followed the former narcotics commissioner of India to Portugal to investigate how that plan was working. Of course, we were skeptical when we went there. We thought, oh, well, you know, the statistics might look good, but anybody can manipulate statistics to make them look good. But what we found was a system that was surprisingly undramatic, but very successful. It was not what you'd expect. You legalize or decriminalize drugs, and you'd expect there to be many more drug users, and you'd expect there to be drug tourism, narco-tourism. You'd expect there to be all kinds of problems ensuing, and in fact, the opposite. Drug use has been reduced. Drug use among young people has been reduced because it's no longer part of an illegal economy, and therefore it's not quite as sexy anymore. It's a health issue. Drug use is considered a health issue rather than a criminal issue, and there are many more people going into treatment than there were prior to the legislation coming into play.
Well, let's go to a different part of the world where the success rate is not so high, and that, of course, is Afghanistan. You point out that 92% of the illicit opium is harvested. Given the enormous profit that can be earned from growing poppies, how can we ever hope to have any success in controlling illegal drug trafficking?
I think over the many decades of attempt to do away with the illicit trade in drugs and narcotics in particular, it's been clear that failed states or states in which lawlessness was the norm are perfect places in which to incubate a trade and manufacture and production of illicit drugs. And that's true in the Golden Triangle during the Vietnam era. It's true in the current situation in Afghanistan. In fact, I see that the illicit production of opium has, or the trade in opium has been curtailed. But really, we're talking about 2 years ago it was 92%. Today, it's about 85 or 86%. So there's still a whole lot of drugs coming out of there. And really, the price of illegal drugs is such that it makes it, you know, hugely profitable and hugely attractive to the interests that are working in that trade.
You know, opium certainly has a negative connotation, but was also, or still is in some ways, an important medical tool. I think our listeners would be very surprised to learn that heroin was developed by the German company Bayer.
For many years, it was looked at, well, it still is in traditional societies as one of the best painkillers of all time. And it still is used, of course, in morphine and codeine legally. And it is a very effective painkiller. It was in many medications in the early part of the 20th century, even in childhood remnants for sleeping problems and so on. It was in many, many drugs that were over-the-counter or illegal at the time. It's now used on the streets of North American cities very much in the same way. Many drug users who are hooked on heroin are, I would argue, from being exposed to many of them, that they're using it as their own medication, their own painkiller. They're just self-medicating. And a painkiller like opium or heroin can be very effective, whether it's illegal or legal.
And you just recently completed the film. Tell us about its distribution, and also tell us about the partnership with the Economist Film Project.
We just finished the film recently, a few months ago, and realized that the best way to have it seen is to coordinate our activities with others who are interested in getting this debate on a healthy track. It's too long. It's been ideologically driven, or unwilling to look at the facts, and unwilling to sort of debate the true issues of success or failure of the current way we have of dealing with illicit drugs. So we've teamed up with partners in the UK, in Europe, and in North America who are helping us get screenings going across North America and in Europe. And we have screenings like the one that you're having in Dallas are followed by panel discussions where people can question and ask and debate some of the issues that are raised in the film. The Economist Film Project, when we approached them, they liked the film and felt it was very much in the vein of the type of film that they want to promote on the PBS NewsHour spot. I believe it's the end of September, and where they're going to have a clip of the film airing on that PBS NewsHour.
Well, I know the Economist Film Project has tackled a lot of important issues such as this one, and we thank you very much for being a guest on Global IQ Minute, and I want to encourage all of our listeners to see this film either with us Monday, August 29th, or elsewhere, which will be advertised on our website. Thank you again, Robert. You can follow the Economist Film Project on Twitter at Economist Film. This is Global IQ Minute with The Economist, produced by the World Affairs Council of Dallas-Fort Worth. Thank you for listening.